What's going on, team? Welcome to another episode of the Master Your Craft Study. I'm your host, Jacob Gollin. If you want to support what we got going on, here's a few ways. Go to our social media accounts at the MYC Study. Give us a shout out, tag us in something inspirational, or of course, comment and share on the things that we post. Another way is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Now, I really want you to be honest. 5-star reviews obviously help us, but I want you to give us constructive feedback so that we can grow this thing and make it better. If you want to get updates whenever a podcast or blog article comes out, go to our website. That's www.themycstudy.com. Put your email in and click subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated by all of us here with the MYC team. Big thanks to the sponsor of this episode, Barukas.com, Barukas.com. Quit chowing down on honey buns and chewy bars and get a snack that's actually going to help you master your craft. Baruka nuts are unbelievably healthy and they're sustainably farmed. Barukas.com is offering our listeners 15% off their first order by using code Jacob at checkout. That's J-A-K-O-B. I go through about 2 bags a week. Get your order in soon. Barukas.com. Use code Jacob, J-A-K-O-B. This week's fan shout-out goes to Alex Cooley. Alex was a star basketball player in college at Michigan Tech, and now he's an engineer down at Dow Chemical in Louisiana. Smart dude. Alex has supported the MYC study for a while now, and recently, he, along with several others, have made an even larger commitment to us. I don't talk about this a ton, but I have set up a Patreon account where folks like Alex, who are doing well for themselves financially and want to donate to our purpose, can join at any of several different tiers, some of which start at just $2. Never an obligation here, but if you're interested in helping to fund the MYC study and some of the programs we've got going on, you can go to patreon.com/Jacob Gollin. That's patreon.com/JakobGollon. It's also on our website, and I'll link to it in the show notes as well if you're interested. Thanks a ton, Alex. Your generosity is helping everyone that benefits from our podcast, and you're inspiring me to continue to bring good information. Our guest this week is Khalif El-Amin. He's the co-founder of Young Enterprising Society, YES, or YES for short, and he also serves as the assistant to the CEO at New Horizons Center Incorporated. He's a Milwaukee, Wisconsin native who is one of the best point guards in the state coming up. They won 2 state championships at Milwaukee Rufus King. He went on to play basketball at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, where he was a captain and garnered all conference honors and team MVP awards, to name a few. He's a winner, he's truly courageous and an inspiring leader, and he's making a massive impact on the lives of young men and women every single day. The city of Milwaukee is lucky to have him, and you and I are lucky to be able to steal some of his time for this podcast. So without further delay, here's Khalif El-Amin. Leaf, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting a guy like you on the show is always going to be impactful. Let's start right from the beginning. Tell me a little bit about Milwaukee in general and kind of about what you're doing career-wise now and why it is that you're doing it.
Yep. So born and raised here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Went to Rufus King High School, where I used basketball and the outlet to, you know, get away from all of the negativity that plagues our city, you know, such as poverty, you know, lack of education, lack of opportunities, things of that nature. I was fortunate enough to actually backtrack a little bit. I used basketball as an outlet to kind of get away from just a lot of the personal struggles that I was going through at a young age. My parents got divorced. So, you know, that was something that my brother and I just always would just go out in the driveway just for hours and hours and hours just to, you know, clear our heads and just, you know, put up shots, play one-on-one, whatever the case may be. And then I was fortunate enough to actually play on a middle school team. It was called Pal Swish. And that team had a number of the state's top talent. Most of us went on to play at Rufus King together, such as like Matt Goodwin, Dupree Fletcher, guys like that, that I was fortunate enough to play with. And then, you know, we all went to Rufus King. At Rufus King, I actually was blessed and worked hard enough to be on two state championship teams. I was the captain, co-captain my junior year and senior year. And that was just an honor and a privilege. And I'm forever grateful, you know, for Coach Guys for giving us that opportunity.
Talk to me about Coach Guys a little bit. I don't know him personally, but I was, you know, a few years behind you in the state. And mm-hmm. So I saw a ton of Kings excellence or success, if you will. And I never had the privilege of meeting Coach Guys, but I've heard a lot of good things. Talk to me about the role that he played in your, I don't want to say upbringing, but yeah. in your young career as a basketball player and as a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he did play a huge role in my, I would use the word upbringing. You know, just a lot of people, if you see Coach Guys on the sideline, you'll be like, this guy's crazy. You know, but I mean, you see the rah-rah, he's yelling, you know, he's using, you know, some choice language. but he was, Coach Guys was a master motivator. And he was a master planner in preparation for games. I mean, he's a genius. I mean, I can't say was, he's still coaching. He is a basketball coaching genius. And that's why I always will stand up for Coach Guys, because he's been very, very instrumental to my development as a young man, as a man, as a, you know, high school athlete, college athlete. And as a, you know, as a business person, because a lot of people see, you know, him, you know, he may curse at his players or yell at his players or yell at the refs, but they don't see him off the floor. I mean, Coach Guys was a gym teacher at Rufus King. So, you know, we would come to school, you know, and we might want something to eat. Like, they didn't see Coach Guys. He had a hot plate in his office. He would make us pancakes. He had a refrigerator full of all type of fruit, oranges, bananas, apples, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know, he would invite us to his house for pizza parties, things like that. You know, he really, really stressed that camaraderie within us. And obviously our practices were competitive. So, you know, he really, really stressed, you know, competitiveness, doing the little things, paying attention to detail. And one thing that sticks with me to this day about Coach Guys is after we won state my junior year, we were playing Appleton West, Brian Butch. He was 7-footer. So at the time, I was 5'2". So in a state tournament, we had there was the tallest guy in the state on varsity, and then the shortest guy in the state, which was me. So but I can shoot from anywhere. So I'm 5'2". I get in the game. It's a back and forth four point game. And then I just hit like a bomb from about 26 feet out. And then like from then on, we just kind of steamrolled, Appleton West. But on the bus ride back, I was sitting next to Coach, and he kind of looked at me, and I'm like, what's going on, Coach? He was like, every dog has his day. And like from then on, it just kind of stuck with me. He really cares for the student athletes that he coaches.
Yeah, that's incredible. Especially now as you've gotten older, I'm sure you realize this, but you know, for myself, having a short coaching career, the things that we take for granted as players, and not that you did, but it is hard to understand until you get older. But you think about those, you know, pasta dinners or pizza parties, or you know, the fact that he's taking time out of his work day to have you guys in the office, and he's cooking for you and really trying to be inclusive outside of the normal call of duty. Those are some things that not everyone does, and they take an extreme amount of energy. You've got a family, right? I mean, you've got a child. Yep. You're like, when you start to think about going above and beyond your normal call of duty that comes with your job and with work, your family, and you're reaching out even further to the players that you're helping and that you coach, that's just a tremendous effort on his part. And I think it speaks a lot as to why some coaches are effective with their players in game and outside the game, and some are not.
Absolutely.
You mentioned your brother, and I know you and him are business partners now, which is one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. And we can kind of touch on this again here in a second, but you had a difficult upbringing, especially in a city that has struggled for some time, and feel free to go into that if you'd like as well. But talk about the role that your brother played and how helpful or meaningful it was to have him kind of along your side through your upbringing.
Yeah, absolutely. Q, he's 2 years older than I am. And he was we were two peas in a pod. We were never, away from each other. You know, what he did, I did. What I did, he did. And, it was just from playing video games to, building and breaking things. I guess that's kind of how it started. Because Q is like, and I'm not just saying this because he's my brother, like he's very, very, very smart and can do a lot of things well. Like some people can do a lot of things okay or kind of good. Like he's very knowledgeable and very smart in a lot of things. So like he would, at a young age, like we would be playing PlayStation, or at this time it was probably Sega Genesis, and he'll just go get the toolbox and just take the controller apart. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to play Sega. Like, I'm trying to play Sonic the Hedgehog. But he would take it apart and just to see how it worked. And then he'll put it back together. Everything will work. So we've always had like that curiosity and that kind of that like to break and build things in a technology sense.
Yeah.
That just kind of just naturally progressed to yes as we got older and after playing ball and whatnot.
Talk about yes. Talk about what it is you're doing now, that the company or the program that you and your brother started, and go into detail on some of what that is and why you're doing it.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. So yes stands for Young Enterprising Society. So we're a project management company based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have three main initiatives. So it's obviously the project management part. And then we do STEAM programming, where we go into local high schools and introduce them to the latest and greatest technologies, and then show them how to become entrepreneurs around those technologies. So the STEAM programming is a four-step process. So the first step is the IT introduction. The second step is the business processes. And then the third step is a college and career readiness. And then a fourth step is project-based internships and externships. And then around the city, there's a lot of, still is, but we're trying to do our part, but there's a lot of vacant lots where people would like dump trash and mattresses and all type of tires and garbage. And it was just a very, very blighted look for the city. So what we did was we took it upon ourselves to buy some of those vacant lots and then plant fruit trees on those lots. So we're in our third year for having the lots. We have over 120 fruit trees planted. So
that's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. So how we grew up, at our grandma's house, grandma and grandpa's house, we could just go out to the backyard and pull a pear, a pear or a plum off the tree, wash it off and eat it. So we wanted to get back to that, rather than kids getting off school, going to the corner store and getting some Flamin' Hots, which are terrible for you. we want them to be able to walk past one of the yes orchards and pull an apple or a pear off the tree, take it home, wash it, and eat it that way. So that was our mindset, and still is our mindset going with the community orchards. With the project management, our main project now is what we call the Blueprint. So the Blueprint is an accelerator program, which we call the Cultivator, because quite frankly, accelerator was just getting played out, the word itself. how it is, it's in two phases. So we have what we call the boot camp. So the boot camp is a weekend long process. So you have Friday, which starts off with a networking event, and then the Saturday is all out teaching from like 10 to 4, and then a Sunday is culminated with a demo day. So we're actually in the and then there's an 8-week cultivator course. So we're actually in the 6 week of the cultivator course, and then in the completion of that, the qualifying businesses, first place will get $10,000 cash infusion, second place will get $5,000 cash infusion, and third place will get $2,500, in addition to legal assistance, tax preparation, and then build out of office space if they need that for their respective jobs.
There's so much meaning in what it is that you're doing, Leaf. It's evident, and the people listening, I'm sure, would agree with me on this, but it's evident that you're a leader, and the fact that you're taking those leadership skills and applying it to something so meaningful to a society and to a city, quite frankly, that you grew up in. You know, you're the hero story, the one that grew up in a city that needs help, and you're doing that. You're applying your leadership skills. Let's go back a little ways, and whether it was Rufus King, or maybe even transition into college now, where did you start molding your leadership qualities, and where does that come from? What were your early experiences with athletics, with sports, that have given you that sense of leadership or that confidence to go out and to try to do something special?
I've always been undersized, so I guess it's not like that. And I say that because it's not like I have, like, I grew and then stopped growing. Like, I've always been progressively that smaller person. So therefore, I was kind of forced to be a point guard, because obviously I was too small to be a shooting guard, so I had to be a point guard. So from a young age on, you know, I just always had to, you know, as a point guard, you got to know where all five, you know, where the other four players are going to be on the floor. You got to know all the plays. You got to know all the positions for the play. So it just, I guess, naturally transitioned into the work world, you know, just assisting people. I mean, that's our mission. Our mission is to mobilize resources. So basically just to, you know, assist people in whatever resources they need.
Yeah, absolutely. In the business world, especially. Now, I don't want this to be a mistake in my speaking here, but you guys work a lot with youth generations and youth demographics, correct?
That's correct.
So, I mean, are there parts of the business that talk or work with adults, or is it mostly young professionals and younger?
Yeah, so the Blueprint program, that's for young professionals. So they have to be at least 18 for that program, and then that goes all the way. I think our oldest participant for that is about 40, I would say maybe 45. But obviously the STEAM programming, it started out as high school, but as the interest has grown, we've kept lowering it down. So now we're actually in a couple middle schools and a elementary school as well.
Gotcha. Talk to me, Leif, a little bit. Let's move back to leadership little bit here. What talk to me about leaders that you've experienced as a player, maybe folks that were ahead of you on the different teams you were on, and some of what their leadership qualities or styles were that you picked up along the way, or were things that you kind of learned, good or bad, throughout the process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say early on, a couple leaders that I saw, I mean, obviously my brother was a couple grades ahead of me. So he was my initial leader, my initial, you know, role model, person who I looked up to. As far as, you know, from a basketball standpoint, I would say Jahi Craig. He was the point guard before me at King, so he was a year ahead of me. He was 03, I was 04. But he just, from the moment I got to King, I mean, he just took me under his wing. He taught me a lot of little things that I thought I knew and I thought I were doing, but I wasn't doing it correctly. I mean, something as simple as passing. You know, he would keep me after, you know, practice and just be like, let me see you pass. Throw me a chest pass. And I'm thinking, you know, oh, man, this is easy. You know, I'm just passing to him. But he taught me like the little things, like, hey, like, we have to make sure we put our players in the best position to score, or to, you know, to be successful. So he was like, when you pass, you want to make sure that you pass it with the ball on the seam, so that the shooter doesn't have to figure out the seams and, you know, fool with the ball. He could just catch it and shoot it. So like those little things, like with Jahi, you know, stand after working on my free throws, working on my shooting, my form, you know, I'm forever indebted to him on those type of things. Fast forwarding to college, Tamarz Relaford, great, great point guard for University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Just just a great guy. He was four years older than me. So when I was coming in, he was graduating. But he just took me under his wing again, showed me the ropes, you know, told me, you know, hey, this is what's expected. This is what you have to do in order to be successful here. And, you know, during the winter break, he took me in and I stayed at his apartment. Like he was just a great guy. To this day, I still, you know, call him, hit him up when I'm in Madison, you know, so that we can hang out. Just those lifelong bonds, you know, for things that you kind of take for granted at the time, but as you get older and as you get more mature, you can really, really appreciate those opportunities that you were granted.
Absolutely. I know Tamaris as well. He was a mentor of mine too, as a young kid. Wonderful, wonderful personality, and obviously a fierce competitor and winner as well. Yeah. What, now I'm going to ask you a relatively probably difficult question for you to answer, but I'm sure it was something that was very present for you, or very, very real for you at the time. You know, you were a leader from day one, Leaf, when you stepped foot on campus. At least that was my perception growing up around the program that you played for. But when you came in, the team looked a little different, quite literally. I mean, you're coming from inner city Milwaukee. You're coming up to Stevens Point where, you know, obviously your teammates are always going to have a certain level of respect for one another. But racially, I mean, it was mostly a white team, correct? I mean, I remember all the guys, but you took a leadership role very early on in your career. What were some of the things that you tried to hold true, or that you were important to you in that process of taking on a different demographic, or trying to lead people that weren't necessarily exactly like, in quotes, exactly like how you were when you were growing up in high school?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a lot of it had to do with me knowing who I was and being confident in myself. And because, I mean, sports is, they serve as like an equalizer. So at least how I look at it, when I'm on the floor, I don't see black or white. I see whatever color jersey I'm wearing, whatever color jersey the other team is wearing. So I knew, and you know, and I that's another thing I have to credit Coach Guys for, is that you had to compete in practice. Like there was no coasting, there was no nothing. Like, because my junior year, we were legit 12 deep. Like where 12 people, the other 7 people on a bench, like could go start for any other school, probably in the state, if not, I mean, obviously in the conference, but pretty much in the state. Like we were that deep, but we had to, you had to be confident in yourself in order to give your best, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So I just transferred that into Stevens Point as well. And I'm like, hey, like I'm coming in here, like, I hate losing more than I love winning. And any coach that I ever played for, you know, you can go back and ask them and say, hey, how was Khalif as a competitor? And like they'll tell you that. And that was the mentality that I had to bring into Stevens Point. I'm like, hey, if you're on my team, we're not losing. Like it's just, I don't care if it's a sprint, if it's a shooting drill, if it's a, you know, a scrimmage, whatever the case may be, we're not losing.
That's universally respected.
So, you know, it's like we're not. And I didn't care what the case was. And I specifically remember we were at a study table my freshman year, and Coach Simlin was meeting with each player individually during the study table. And you know, he kind of asked me like, you know, how were things going, blah, blah, blah. And something that stuck with me, he said, in order for you to be successful here, you have to, one, have confidence in yourself. You have to, two, gain the confidence of your teammates. And you have to, three, gain the confidence of the coaches. So when he told me that, I'm like, hey, the only way to gain confidence is to produce. So, like from that point on, I made it my duty for not only me to be successful, but for the team to be successful.
Yeah, went outside yourself. Yeah, that's tremendous. I think that the role you played in some of those teams and how successful they were, you know, that university obviously has lined up championships for a long time, and I was privy to growing up and seeing some of them, and then fortunate enough to, you know, Coach Semling, who you just mentioned, was my boss for 1 year, my first year of coaching. Yep. And some of the character and development behind, and I know it can be difficult because he has such a hard line and a hard standard that he sets. But there are some really quality things about the character he teaches and the way he plays. You play the game and the way you conduct yourself when you're playing the game. And very quality thing. Is there anything else about your time under Coach Semling or at UW Stevens Point that stands out to you as having a big impact on your life now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like you kind of alluded to, you know, Coach Semling has a way of coaching, and he coaches, and we kind of laugh about it as former players under him. But, you know, he's like the one word, if you can describe Coach Semling in one word, it would be toughness. Like, he was all about toughness. So, you know, I think, you know, we kind of laughed it off, you know, when we were there, like, oh man, Coach got us doing this, you know, is it really necessary? But when you look at the success, you look back at the success that we had, like, we were the most in shape. We were the toughest, you know, the weight training that he had us go through. I mean, out of 116 games, I think I played in my college career, like, I only missed one. And so, like, you know, everything that he, sometimes I probably should have missed a couple more in there, but, you know, it was like one of those things. If you don't practice, you don't play. So, I mean, he was very instrumental in giving me confidence, you know, just kind of giving me the keys and letting me roll with it, I would say, from my sophomore year on.
How has toughness helped you in developing Yes?
Obviously, is the mental toughness has been, you know, tremendous. I mean, because you're gonna face a lot of different obstacles, you know, in the business world from day to day basis. But you just have to, you got to know what your goal is and what your objective is and what you're trying to accomplish, and just keep pushing, because there's days where, you know, like, nothing's gonna go right, or it seems like nothing is going right. But you always have to, you know, mentally get past that and look for the silver lining in every situation.
That's kind of the role that a lot of players will appreciate, for having played for a coach that was, you know, difficult to understand or comprehend early on. But then as you grow through that program and as you mature, you start to realize that the rigidness and standard that's set by a coach winds up being for a reason. You're a coach now, Lee. You've been an assistant coach at multiple really successful high schools, and so you've kind of stayed connected to the game. And you're very obviously with your work with Yes, and then being a coach, you are very active in the lives of a lot of young folks. Where do you think young players get it wrong? Where do you think they're making the biggest mistakes right now? And what kind of advice would you be giving to them based off your own experience and now being in a coaching and leadership role?
Oh man, that's a really good question. I would say, just off of what I've seen, and I'm not that much, you know, removed from them, but it's a different child. It's a different kid nowadays. They're not as tough, you know, overall. You have your kids who's gonna, you know, dive on the floor and, you know, get some raspberries and get some, you know, floor burns and things like that. But overall, I would say the player nowadays goes for too much finesse rather than just getting it done. Like, they focus too much on how it looks rather than getting it done.
Rather than the result.
Yeah, exactly. Than the end result. So, I mean, that's really what I've seen. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, social media and YouTube and things like that. They see, you know, not knocking him, I think he's a pretty good ball player, but, you know, Jelly Fam and all that type of thing, like, you know, I think it's hard for them to separate that and then, you know, getting it done on the court. Because obviously when I was growing up, we had, like, And1, you know, we had Hot Sauce and the Professor and, you know, all that. And I can still hear, I can hear my assistant coach in high school saying, get all that SHIT out your game. He had a real raspy voice, and he was just all like, that's how he would always, you got too much of that garbage in your game.
And that's an interesting comparison there. Let's contrast that for a second, Leaf. So, and you saying this just kind of made this click in my mind. back then, one of the big brands, if you will, or one of the big, back then it would have been a hashtag, right? But hashtags right. weren't around yet. It was and one. I mean, quite yep. literally, the term and one implies I got fouled and I still made the shot.
Right.
You know, like you made a toughness play at the bucket. And then yep. fast forward, and one of the most popular, you know, hashtags or groups or trends is Jelly Fam. And for those old fogies listening and watching, all you coaches, if you're not familiar with this, you need to listen to your players, because I guarantee you they're all doing it in layup lines. And, you know, put simply, it's, you know, having jelly on your layup. You know, think Kyrie Irving, who I think is a great player. But, you know, it's using English on the ball and kind of being fancy and finessey with your finishes. But it's interesting comparing and contrasting, you know, what it was then and what was popular and kind of what it is now. And that, so you think that that's kind of present in character as well, that toughness hasn't necessarily carried over from generation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I've coached, you know, high school, and in addition to that, I've coached AAU, and I know how my parents were as far as like a player parent relationship and then a parent coach relationship. I think that's a little bit less prevalent now. I think, you know, a lot of parents baby their children, and I'm just keeping it real. I'm just going off what I see.
Empirical evidence.
Yeah. So like they what I've seen in my day to day dealings with AAU basketball and high school basketball is that the parents want to baby the children, but want the coaches to be the bad guys. Which, and by bad guys, I mean like yell at them, get on them, you know, discipline them, things like that. But that structure has to come from home, because it makes our job as coaches that much more difficult. If, and I'm just throwing his name out there, if Johnny can talk back to you at home and get away with basically murder, then when he comes to practice, it's going to be very, very tough for the coaches to break Johnny and for him to have, you know, that level of respect that's needed in order to, you know, for him to be coachable.
Right.
So I think like that foundation at home, that family life, that's not as strong as it was when I was growing up. And, you know, yeah, my parents were divorced, but, you know, they were very, very, very supportive. You know, my father, he got remarried. My mom didn't. But, you know, just, you know, my dad, all AAU tournaments, he was there. You know, majority of them my mom came to. You know, even growing up, like, or as I got older, and Steven's point, I think there were only couple games where he missed. So, you know, just having that foundation, that basis at home, I think that's a little less strict as it was, you know, in a previous generation.
Yeah, I'm a big education guy, and I like, this is one of the reasons why I'm so fond of what you're doing in the city of Milwaukee, is because, you know, kids need support systems and structures outside of just their one or two mentors or coaches. And so much of it is a family thing or a city thing, that, you know, it takes a village, right? Like, we hear that all the time.
Absolutely.
And it starts at home, and it's the same thing with, and we talk about education systems and how there's all these, people get very political about it and up in arms about different programs or where the money goes. But in reality, a good support system at home can negate a lot of that.
Exactly.
And really kind of helps give you that foundation. Let's change gears just a little bit here.
Okay.
I did my research beforehand, and of course I've been paying attention to YES for some time now, but you've had some athletes that have been involved with YES, at least, you know, on varying levels. But I saw a video recently of Michael Redd, and I know you're familiar with other athletes that are pretty well known in their respective sports. Talk to me about any of those guys that you so choose, and maybe a little bit about what makes them such great people and how they use their influence and their platform to impact other lives.
Yeah, I'll hit on Michael Redd. Michael Redd came to Milwaukee, or back to Milwaukee, a number of times. But one of the times he came, we were actually teaching STEAM programming at Carmen High School, which is on the northwest side of Milwaukee. A contact over at the Bucks that I had, she contacted me and she was like, hey, Michael Redd is coming into town. You know, I would like for him to come and, you know, speak to your students over at Carmen. So we were like, great. Like, you know, I'm happy because not only is he coming to speak to the students, but I get to meet, you know, one of the Bucks greats, you know, a Olympian, you know, and just all around great guy. But now Michael Redd is now a venture capitalist. So he invests in a lot of different companies. And, you know, he said, you know, a lot of his dealings and a lot of his decisions, you know, like things are so transferable from decisions that he had to make as a player to decisions that he has to make as a venture capitalist now. So in addition to him coming and speaking with the students, you know, we actually had a lunch and learn at our office where he came and he spoke to local business leaders, entrepreneurs, things of that nature. So, you know, we have a pretty good relationship with Michael Redd. He's been very influential for us. And obviously the city in general, you know, just how he comes back and he gives back in those capacities.
That's wonderful. What about Michael Redd? Do you think, you know, if you just had to shout out two or three words that describe him, what about his personality or about his purpose is what makes him successful or what makes him a good person or someone who's a true leader?
Yeah. I think his he's got a temperament about him. It's not arrogant, but it's a high level of confidence. And I think that comes from just being sure of yourself and being sure of your goals. And he's very higher being conscious, God conscious. You know, he knows that he's not doing and he hasn't done what he's doing, you know, just off of luck, or, you know, he knows that there's a higher power that has a plan for him.
He's pulling a lot of his virtue and energy from faith, and that's not uncommon for a lot of successful folks. Leif, let's talk about different sources of inspiration and or information or wisdom for you, and it can come from any sort of media outlet or what it might be. Books, music, TV, movies, documentaries, podcasts. What inspires you, moves you, educates you? You know, where do you look for your own development or growth?
Recently, I've been looking to my son a lot, and that may sound weird to the listeners, but what I mean by that is that, like, he's my why. He's 4 years old, and he's to the point now where he's starting to want to dress like daddy. He's starting to, you know, he wants to talk like daddy. You know, he wants to walk and act, and, you know, so I think he really inspires me to be great and to be greater, because my father was very instrumental into my upbringing. You know, he's my hero to this day, but he was a little older, and there's more of an age gap between my father and myself and Nasir and myself. So, you know, I think, like, I can kind of relate a little bit more to Nasir. And he challenges me. He challenges me, and I love it because he challenges me to be the best caliph that I can be on a day-to-day basis.
Because, you know, he's right behind you.
I know he's watching everything from, I mean, if I got on a hoodie today, he wants to wear a hoodie. If I have to wear a tie, he wants to wear a tie. So every little action, you really have to check it. And, and then going forward, I mean, you know, breaking that down even more is like every action has a reaction. So everything that I do, I know, I'm like, okay, how is this going to affect Nasir or my family, you know, directly or indirectly?
That's a tremendous accountability system.
Oh man, tell me about it. Tell me about it. But I mean, it works though, because it's so much distractions, you know, out here where you can easily slip up. You know, if I'm not deeply grounded, you know, with my, you know, my relationship, you know, with my faith, with, you know, anything, you can, there's so much wiggle room, because, you know, as my father says, the devil is always working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just gotta stay on my P's and Q's, you know, make sure my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed.
I think to some degree, great coaches have that same sort of feeling with their players, you know, and it manifests itself in a million different ways. But one that pops into my head is, you know, like when you're a player and you're about to get, you know, you have an opinion on everything that happens on the court and you agree or disagree accordingly. And it's never just one end of the spectrum or the other. But, you know, if a coach is always preaching defense and as a player, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm sick of all this defensive talk. You know, I just want to get buckets and, right, you know, right. But you know, when you get put on the spot, right. You know, when you go and you have an interview after practice and they're like, so what have you guys been up to? What are you working on for next game? You know, what's going to come out of that player's mouth? It's going to be what the coach said. And you go, oh, well, we've really been focusing on our defense. And so there is, to some degree, those leaders or those mentors or the people that we give voice to are going to have a very strong impact on what sticks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a firm believer of attitude reflects leadership. So, you know, I just try to lead by example. But I guess to further answer your question, other media, I was a huge, huge E.T., the Hip Hop Preacher fan. I listen to him regularly. I go back and I just YouTube, like, you know, motivational speeches or, you know, anything. Like, there's no set person or, like, thing that I would listen to like that. I read, you know, Robert Greene's books, 40 Laws of Power, The Art of Seduction, things of that nature. And then I know I'm late, but I just started reading Players First by John Calipari.
I've not read that, actually. I've read a lot of coaching books, and I've still not read Calipari's book.
Yep. So I just started that one. So I'm hoping I got a trip coming up next week. So I think I'm going to finish it. I should be able to finish it on the plane. But I just, you know, any, you know, articles or, you know, self-help, entrepreneurship, you know, anything, I'm always looking to get better. You know, I look at, you know, as the, you know, yes, in the business world now, like that's my craft now after basketball. So I just use, you know, a lot of the attributes that I, you know, that I've learned throughout my playing days, you know, transfer those over to, you know, the business world, you know, which, like, discipline, determination, you know, passion, I would say hunger, you know, things like that. So you just, you know, you just make them work for your life now.
Yeah. I'm going to say one word and you can take it anywhere you want. And how would you define, or what comes to mind when you hear the word grit?
Grit is like all encompassing. Grit has to do with the toughness, the passion, doing the little things. I would say, you know, competitiveness. And with the grit, you do have to have a little bit of talent. I would say attitude. To be an effective leader, you have to have a certain amount, or I wouldn't use the word attitude. I would use personality. Because to be an effective leader, you have to have a certain type of personality that where people want to be around you and people trust you. So yeah, I would say grit is all encompassing. Yeah. Grit is what really makes it, what separates the boys from the men.
You separated yourself earlier than later, Lee. There's a lot of people that have benefited from your maturity, especially earlier on in life. I think that's tremendous.
Thank you.
Well, we're almost out of time here, but there's a couple more questions. We'll finish in just a second here. Mm-hmm. What else comes to your mind when you're thinking about the attributes for someone who really has a desire to master their craft? And I want to coin this in a specific way. So you're mentoring a high school grad who just finished and let's say is not going to go to college, right? They're going to pass up on all that debt for right now. And they were a really big time athlete while they were in high school. But now that they're done and they're graduated, they had so-so grades, but they're having a hard time finding a job. And even though you know from being around that player that they were a tremendous athlete and leader for their sports teams, How would you mentor him or advise him on his pursuit of a craft? How would he brand himself to a company? And what sort of attributes as an athlete would he have that he might not even know about that would help him master his craft?
Sure. I would make sure I'm providing him with the right guidance. With me being a mentor, I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can do that's within my control to help him. So I will make sure, I provide him with the right guidance, such as providing, relevant job opportunities to him, doing mock interviews with him, making sure his soft skills are on point, because that's something that I've seen more recently than not, is that a lot of people lose jobs just because they don't have the right soft skills, not knowing how to, effectively communicate, not showing up to work on time, not dressing appropriate for the job. So making sure all those things are on point for him, and then honing in on his strengths, which made him successful on the court, the field, the mat, wherever he was successful at, and just making sure, just honing in on those strengths and, making sure that he knows that they are transferable into the business world. So whether that's, dedication, discipline, hard work, leadership, humility, whatever the case may be, just knowing that those attributes don't stop once the ball stops bouncing, or whatever the respective sport is. Just having him make sure he's confident and, transferring those successes that he had, in the sports world into the business world.
Because they do transfer, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 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 I mean, I make, comparisons to basketball and business on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, sometimes when I'm doing presentations, they might think I'm, giving a scouting report more so than a presentation, because basketball analogies in there, but it works. I mean, that's what I know. Basketball is my first love, my first passion. And, I like to think that I was, that I was successful in it. So, that's how I pay it for
reaching back down and helping other athletes, other young folks to understand those things.
Absolutely.
Well, Khalif, we got the last question for you here. You have to provide, and this is a good one for you, because you're kind of in a mentorship role as a career already, a waking thought. So every single person in the United States of America wakes up, their alarm goes off, beep, 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 and the first thing they hear is a 10-second message from Khalif. What would you tell them?
Whatever it is that you endeavor to do, seek to perfect it.
Man, if that doesn't fall directly in line with master your craft, I don't know what does. Khalif, man, this has been such a great conversation, especially considering the role and the personal impact that you've had on my life and the impact that I know you're having on the city of Milwaukee and beyond. So I appreciate you, especially while you're in the middle of some of your projects and programs right now, taking the time to speak some words of life with our audience here with Master Your Craft. Is there anything else you want to add? Tell people where they can find you on your social media accounts and websites and whatnot.
Yep. So the website is www.followtheyes.com. So www.followtheyes.com. You can reach us on social media at Young E Society. And my personal social media is Big Leaf 10, BIGLEEF10. I think that's it.
Was little Leaf 10 taken?
Well, I mean, Big Leaf is a mindset.
That's right. Well, man, I appreciate it so much, Khalif. Thank you. Is there any other message you want to send the people before we get going here?
Learn, earn, and return.
Love it. All right, brother. Thank you so much. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Team, don't go anywhere just yet. Give me 1 second. Thanks so much for listening to another episode. I hope we were able to bring some value to you. Just a reminder, go on our social media accounts at the MYC Study. Like, comment, share, all that sort of stuff. Tag us in an inspirational post. We love seeing those things, and oftentimes we'll share it if you tag us in something. Also, it's really helpful if you go on Apple Podcasts or iTunes and leave a review. Remember, I don't just want 5 stars. I want an honest review, and I want to know what you think about how we can improve the show, what you'd like to hear or see more of, or what you thought was valuable. If you want to get email updates whenever a podcast or blog article comes out, go to our website, www.themycstudy.com, and there's a side section where you can fill in your email and you click subscribe. We're not sending any spam or advertisements or anything like that. It's just a good way to be a part of the community and never miss an episode. And lastly, and there's never an obligation here, but we do have a Patreon account. If you go to patreon.com/JAKOBGOLLON, that's patreon.com/JacobGollin, we have several different tiers set up where you can donate to the programs that we're working on. The first tier starts at $2, and all the way up there's different memberships and incentives for you to be part of the MYC team. This is for the sort of person who's doing well financially and you really like the sort of content or the quality of the information that we're bringing you, and you'd like to help see it grow. We use the donations to get better equipment and to help with the production process. So if that's you and you think this is a show that's bringing you tremendous value and you'd like to contribute in a financial aspect, this is the way to do it. But like I said, never an obligation, just a thought, and I set it up for anyone who might be interested. All right, that does it. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys next week. Master your craft.